If we can all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think we'll move right along and introduce our speaker of the evening. Many of you have met Lieutenant Vince Osorio. He has come here this evening to speak to us on SEU, and he can describe all of those.
Absolutely.
That unit.
Thank you.
How's everybody doing? Good? For those of you who I haven't met, like Charlotte said, my name is Vince Osorio. I'm the District 3 Lieutenant, and Mark will tell you later that I guess he's been successful in pushing a lot of the crime from District 2 down to District 3 over the last few days, which is good. I'm going to get my broom back out and try and push it. We're gonna go a little further south, though. Along with District 3, I help Mark with SWAT. I've been on our team since 97, along with Mark. He's been on since 1897. But, you know, a lot of the things that he's done with the department, I've gotten the pleasure of working with him on. I was his team leader after he got promoted to lieutenant, and it's been a pretty good ride. Other than that, I'm also in charge of our volunteer program and our explorers. But the big thing that I'm running right now is our special enforcement unit. They're in charge of all these early releases from state prison and from county jails due to AB 109, which is just another gift that our wonderful legislature has given to us. If Mark hasn't talked about it too much, basically it's a parole realignment. They're trying to clear out the jails and the prisons because they're overcrowded. Now there's a federal mandate that says you guys have too many people in prison. When AB 109 was passed, they gave us a mandate and they said that, hey, this is what's going to happen. Different levels of crime are going to get reclassified upon release. Certain crimes that aren't serious, aren't sex-based, and aren't violent are going to be classified, and these prisoners will be eligible for an early release or a shorter prison term. We're already seeing that. We have right now we verified that there are 55 of these early releases in the city of Gardena, when the state is telling us that there are actually 84. Basically what happens is these people are being released on their most recent crime. I mean, you could have a gang member who had a series of shootings and attempted murder and a bunch of other things. If his last crime was non-serious, non-sexual, or non-violent, let's say a forgery or something, and that's what they went to prison for, then under realignment, he's going to get out a little bit early, or she. But upon release, what they have to do is they tell the parole board and probation that, hey, I'm going to be at 1519 Redondo Beach Boulevard. And that's all parole and probation takes down. They don't go out and they don't verify addresses or anything. As long as there's an address, and it sounds like it's in the state of California, then they're good. They get dropped off at a depot, and in our case, over 30 of these people have absconded. They're off in the wind. Now, my team is responsible for making sure that these people are in compliance. So in a perfect world, what they're doing is they're knocking on the doors of these people once they have their addresses. They go to verify whether they're there, whether they're complying with the conditions of their release, and they're staying out of trouble. Like I said, we verified 54 so far, and out of that 54, about 10% are, well, let me rewind. We verified that there are 54 in the city. The others of the 80 or so that are supposed to have been here are just gone. Out of the 54, about 10% have been sent back to prison for various reasons, whether it's possession of narcotics, weapons, violations of their conditions, that kind of thing. So our team's been very busy. They get out every week and they're doing anywhere from 5 to 15 compliance checks per week. We've repeated visits with some of these people just because, our first visits, we didn't think we were successful. you know, either by taking them to jail or having them completely in compliance. You get to visit people a second or third time, they usually get the message. Luckily, because they're under AB 109, the one good thing is we don't need a warrant to go into their house. You know, so all we got to do is knock on the door. Hey, we're here to check on Joe and make sure that he's in compliance. Their bedrooms, anything that any common areas that they're in charge of, where we can search and make sure that there aren't narcotics, you know, well, in some cases, you know, pornography, weapons, that kind of thing. In most cases, actually, I think the best case that we've had so far is I'm actually going to Mina Semenza's group right after this, and one of her neighbors was checked not only by us but by the sheriffs and LAPD because he had done crimes in different areas before being, you know, going to prison and then being released. Another good thing about the whole AB 109 thing is everybody in the area gets these updates. So I might get an update on, you know, Joe that the same that an LAPD team might get and a sheriff's team might get. And we're all going to, and they all, the updates come out every Monday. So that week, if Joe seems like he's a high profile guy, he might get a visit from all three of us. Good. And we've actually been, I think it was last week, we were at the Patio Inn checking on a couple people there. We've added the former sex registrants to the whole thing also. So we try to do one or two of them a week. Well, on the first floor, we ran into a probation officer, and we asked her, what are you doing here? Well, I'm going to apartment 20. Oh, so are we. Nice to meet you. So let's go over there. We went upstairs, and there's a probation officer coming up the opposite staircase. And yet she wasn't going, or that he wasn't going to the same apartment as us, but he was going to be checking on somebody who was on that floor. And who we were going to, so he decided, hey, you know what? When I get done with this guy, I'll help you out with the guy you're checking on. So he was able to verify a bunch of things for us. In that case, both of those people were in compliance, which is a good thing. Like I said, I guess the good thing is that there are 30 of these people that are supposed to be in Gardena that aren't here. The bad thing is we don't know where they are. Yeah, exactly, that we know of. Well, what we're doing now is when SEU is not working on the compliance checks, they're also doing follow-up investigations. If we can find out where they live, then we'll go off and we'll go visit them there. In most cases, what happens is they get a warrant issued in their name because they gave probation bad information and they're considered absconders. In addition to all of the AB 109 stuff, SEU also handles anything that's gang-related within the city or right around the city. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've had a few shootings that are right outside our borders. There was a fine young gentleman who was hanging out on the county side of the area near 147th Street in Crenshaw. And I think it was a Tuesday, not last Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, some gang members from another gang decided they were going to chase him. And they shot at him. They missed him. And the shooters in that case were taken into custody. Well, you know, this guy must have been completely satisfied with the police activity and the sheriff's response, because the following Friday he decided he was going to hang out in the same area. That night he didn't make it out. Almost immediately our guys got wind of that, so they started working any connections that were in our city. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, we had a G13er who was shot by the 110 and Gardena Boulevard, right under the overpass there. Within about half an hour, our guys were already out, and they helped the LAPD determine that, hey, you know, this was, it's related. You know, we thought it was a Torrance gang, T-Flats. But it was actually another Hispanic gang from up north, Southmost. So now they're working on that connection. And they're putting out the information to all the surrounding agencies. Torrance, they've got 26 square miles and something like four times the amount of cops that we have. And they have two guys dedicated to working gangs. So our guys have been helping their guys out a little bit. Our guys have been helping their guys out a lot, actually. So, you know, we're working with all the surrounding agencies to make sure that, you know, anything that's going on in their areas that, that could come back and have some type of backlash here, we're on it right away. Just to give you some numbers, over the team's been operative for about 60 days now. We just did an update for the chief. In addition to working all the gangs, maybe 109 checks and stuff like that, the team has been responsible for 14 felony arrests, 10 misdemeanor arrests, 99 field interviews or contacts. They're shaking the trees. They're out there and they're trying to contact everybody. If you look like a gang member, smell like a gang member, walk like a gang member, they're gonna stop you. Let's see, citations. 40 citations for different offenses. They've done 2 different search warrants and handled 35 calls for service. So we're also helping patrol out. It's just another tool that's out here to help us out with our everyday crime fighting. The you know, they help out on any local perimeters that we have, and you know, we sent a couple to, you know, Hawthorne last week. Let's see, guns. If I'm right, they've taken something like 6 or 7 guns off the street. One of them was an SKS assault rifle that we're pretty sure is involved with a shooting that in South Los Angeles, where a South Los gang member was killed. So we're working with LAPD right now to try and see if it's the exact rifle that was used. But you know, they're the people we have on the team. We have 4 officers and 1 sergeant. And they're all very good at what they do. We have 2 that are, actually 3 now, that are certified gang experts, so they can testify to gang activity and gang membership when they go to court. 2 of them are on the SWAT team with us, so I don't have too many qualms about sending them to, you know, wherever we need to send them. And they're training the other 2 up. One of them is our school resource officer, Louis Villanueva. He might have been to one of these meetings. So he's working the graffiti angle. And he's tracking graffiti. He's, over the last couple of years, he's actually been able to get the city over $35,000 in reparations for for different graffiti. He was actually responsible for catching one of the most prolific taggers in the area, who, I know this might be hard to believe, but he was, at the time that he was captured, he was 37 years old, still lived with his parents, and didn't have any type of employment. Go figure.
What was his name?
The Hispanic guy. I can't remember.
Oh, you mean his tag name?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it was Nerve. Oh. But I'm not positive.
So I actually helped Melon Way to catch a guy who was tagging our alley.
Did you really?
Smokey everywhere, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
A real charming guy.
Yeah. Well, these guys don't, you know, most taggers are you know, teenagers,
yeah,
and they tag on the way to school or they tag on the way home. Well, they don't realize that we can figure out where they're, you know, what on the way to school and on the way home is.
Yeah. Right.
So you can kind of triangulate and figure, okay, well, you know, he must live in the area. And Louis did a very good job. He does a very good job with the graffiti and, you know, talking with kids and getting, he's got liens on houses. He got a few other things going. It's a wonderful thing. You start kicking people in their, pocketbook, and you know, they make their kids listen. Yes, sir.
My question is, how much are the parents on the hook for? This juvenile
all of it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they're responsible. You know, it's like I tell my kids, you leave the house, I'm still responsible for you.
Right.
You know, so
the one kid we followed, we went to his house, and then we knocked on the door, we followed him home,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking with the parents. And they let their dog go in the street. I'm like, okay. I told another lady, just call the police right now. She's like, no, I'm going to try to work it out. I said, just call the police. I go, she doesn't care about her dog. She doesn't care about her kid.
Exactly.
She's already yelling at us.
Right.
Not saying, oh, I'm sorry, my kid did this to your building. And we called the police, and she started calling him all kinds of bad names in Spanish. And I'm like, do you speak Spanish? She's like, no. And I'm like, okay. So she had no respect for the police either.
Yeah, well, one of the tools that Louis has been able to incorporate into his little bag of tricks is office conferences with our city attorney. So let's say somebody, you know, we catch a kid tagging or whatever it is, and he determines, hey, he's got a formula for square footage and paint and all this other stuff. I'm math phobic, so when he starts talking, I just go, sounds like a good idea. Go for it. Whatever you're going to do. You know? When it gets to a certain point, they get called into the city attorney's office. He sits down with them, and they work it out. And in most cases, you know, they're able to get something back, which is a good thing, because you know he takes into account you know, supplies, man hours, mm-hmm. and you know, investigative hours, and a bunch of other things.
Good.
So it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Questions about SEU or any of the stuff that we do? You might, you know, there have been some areas where it looks like there's a lot of police activity. There are a lot of these AB-109 task forces out, like I was talking about earlier. And you know, the sheriffs, I don't know what it is, but you put the sheriffs on a special team and they start wearing these crazy uniforms, you know, guys with beanies and, you know, short sleeve shirts with sweatshirts under them and all kinds of crazy stuff because they're not technically patrol. So if you see stuff like that, feel free to call us and we can verify for you. Most of the time they're checking in with us and letting us know that, hey, we're going to be doing compliance checks in the area. And, you know, you might see a few extra cops out there. Yeah, I don't complain too much as long as they're not knocking on my door. But, you know, so you'll see some activity out there. Getting back to my best case, I think Mina's neighbor that she complained about, because I guess the sheriffs came and visited him. Well, we paid a visit to him, too. And when our guys went in and checked on him to make sure he was in compliance, he had a pristine apartment. Everything was in compliance, and he actually had a desk that had like 6 or 7 job applications on it, all nicely typed, and you know, they all had his name on it, and there weren't any credit applications for anybody else. So, you know, we thought, well, this is how it's supposed to work. And you know, I know this guy from way back when, and we, you know, I told him.
Names on those applications?
Yeah, it was all Mark Rickroll.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. But and you know, so we have history, and I told him, well, you know, we'll be back just to make sure, because you know, if we can say, hey, you know, we help keep this guy on the straight and narrow, then we've done our jobs,
good.
And we won't have to chase him around, which is a good thing. But yes, ma'am.
I'm curious about these 30 wanderers. You don't have any idea whether they're still in the area or they've gone on to bigger and better things.
We're doing, like I said, we're doing investigations on them. Most of the time, if they give us an address and it's a bogus one, the pattern is that they're either giving out a friend's address or a family member. So, you know, they don't want us coming back. And we told them, as long as this address is on file, we're going to come back. And most of the time, they'll give us at least a little bit of a clue as to where they went. So we've been able to find a few. Some, I don't know why, not so smart. You know, I just got out of jail, so I'm going to leave. I'm going to give a fake address, and then I'm going to go hang out by county jail. And that's, you know, it's great when you can just pick them up and, you know, walk across the street. So, yeah, exactly. You know, you get 3 hots in a cot, and, you know, it's great. But, yeah, you know, so and if you guys have any questions on AB-109 or compliance checks in the area, feel free to, you know, just email Mark and I'll get you a reply. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a regular schedule for when you do that?
No.
No? It's just when you think something's going on?
No. We try to vary it because the word gets out. You know, these guys, you know, bad guys have so much time on their hands. All they're doing is thinking about how they can, you know, skirt the system. So if you know, we do 6 Mondays in a row from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., they're going to know, and the word's going to get out. So, you know, like I said, we do 5 to 15 a week, and we vary the hours. You know, most of the time they're early morning to the, you know, mid-afternoon, but we've been out at night, you know, not too late because, you know, we can't be knocking on doors at 10:30 at night. But, you know, we have been out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
Scary after dark,
we
understand.
Yeah, that too.
It's
yeah. It gets dark quick now too. Oh man. Yeah. And you know, we've had a few complaints, but you know, it's a cost of doing business. You know. I had a gentleman complain because he said we brought too many officers. And I looked at my sergeant Brian Messina, I go, you talk to this guy because I'm walking out. But, you know, we bring anywhere from, you know, the 5 that we have assigned to, you know, 8 or 10, depending on how busy patrol is. And, you know, it's a good way for us to get our patrol guys trained up in how AB 109 works. We bring them along. They help us do compliance checks. And, you know, it's just safer for everybody if I have 15 bodies there with us, you know. I mean, you know, thankfully you guys understand. But for some reason, bad guys don't get that.
Right.
You know.
Are you ever allowed to bring a service dog with you, a dog that would maybe smell firearms or...
If somebody that's got a narcotics pass, we might bring one, you know, just to kind of hang out.
Yeah.
You know, because our two dogs are really good, and you know they're good at detecting narcotics, so you know we've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
But yeah, if no further questions, thanks for having me out.
No, thank you.